This message is given in the name of Jesus, our Lord and Savior. Amen. I'd like to begin by reading you a verse from Proverbs, specifically Proverbs 16, verse 18. This is probably familiar to you. Solomon writes, "Pride goes before destruction, and an arrogant spirit before a fall." Now this proverb of the Lord is very true. The sin of pride was behind Adam and Eve's evil desire to exalt themselves above God. And whenever we sin, whenever we rebel against God's will in any way, we show ourselves to be the offspring of the evil Adam and Eve. The sinful pride that we inherited from Adam perpetuates our fallen state, which will lead eventually to destruction. That's why Peter writes what he does in chapter 5 of his letter. He says, "All of you, clothe yourselves with humility toward one another, because God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble." Now, Peter wrote these words to baptized Christians like you and me. Peter says that God opposes the proud. Now, this does not mean that God opposes other people who are proud, whereas he doesn't oppose us because we're so humble. No, we're all guilty of sinful pride. We exalt ourselves above God whenever we sin, by desire or thought or word or deed. Therefore, God opposes us. God uses his words of judgment and wrath against our sin to humble us. However, you need to understand something. God does not humble us because he's some kind of self-centered, power-hungry control freak. No. God opposes the proud and humbles us because he loves us. You see, God wants to serve us and lift us up forever in his arms of love, but he can't do that when we're proudly standing on our own two feet and choosing our own way. In our gospel reading from Matthew 23, Jesus says, "Whoever exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted." Now you need to know that these words first and foremost speak of Christ and his work for us. Think about it. If anyone had a legitimate reason to be prideful, it was Jesus. I mean, he was God in human flesh. But Jesus humbled himself for us when he went to the cross and there served us proud sinners by offering himself as a sacrifice for our sins. God then exalted Jesus to the highest place. Jesus has the name above every name. All knees will bow before him on the final day. But nevertheless, even now, the exalted Jesus continues to live as our humble servant. The Bible says that we should humble ourselves. But we sinners are not very good at humbling ourselves. And even when we do try to humble ourselves, our motive is often still pride. You see, we're often tempted to humble ourselves so that people can admire our humility. For example, the poet Samuel Taylor Coleridge wrote the following words. "The devil saw a cottage with a double coach house, a cottage of gentility, and the devil did grin, for his darling sin is pride that apes humility." Now, when Coleridge speaks of a cottage of gentility, he's referring to the fact that the owners of the cottage were very charitable and giving people. But the devil also knew their hearts. He knew that they were serving others only that others might see how humble they were. So, as Coleridge says, when pride apes humility. That is, when we humble ourselves just to show how humble we are, we're actually guilty of sinful pride. Therefore, if we are ever going to have true humility, God must give it to us. So when Scripture says that we should humble ourselves, it actually means that our humility is a response to God's Word, which humbles us. God uses His Word to expose our sinful pride. He uses His Word to show the selfishness in our lives. God humbles us and He makes us nothing. However, God humbles us and makes us nothing only so He can exalt us and lift us up. And that's why it doesn't matter if you're 1 day old or 100 years old, every person must come to the waters of holy baptism as a spiritual infant. God gives us true humility so that He can lift us up with Christ. And only by dying to sinful pride can we begin to live the baptized life. So today we continue our sermon series, Dying to Live the Baptized Life. We've learned how God uses holy baptism to connect us to the death and resurrection of Jesus. And we've learned how God continues to use His spoken and written word to keep us living in our baptism every day. Today's sermon title is Pride versus Humility. Today we will learn that God opposes and crushes our sinful pride so that He can give us true humility that allows us to serve others to the glory of God. So let's begin by briefly examining our gospel reading. Now Jesus uses the Pharisees as an example of pride that disguises itself as humble spirituality. You see, the Pharisees were the spiritual leaders of the Jewish community in Jesus' day. Now, insofar as they taught God's word correctly, Jesus says they were to be obeyed. However, when their teaching conflicted with God's word, they were to be ignored. This is a good example of the Scripture alone principle, the assertion that all we teach is based only on God's Word given to us in Holy Scripture. However, what also concerned Jesus was the Pharisees' prideful motivations. Jesus says, "Everything they do is done for men to see." Here is a perfect example of how even the good things we do can be done for prideful reasons. And that's why we must see Jesus' condemnation of the Pharisees as a condemnation of our own sinful pride. Because we too are sometimes guilty of being like the Pharisees, doing things for men to see. That's why Jesus says the following. He says, "Do not call anyone on earth father, nor are you to be called teacher." Now, let me tell you what this doesn't mean. Jesus does not mean that you cannot call your biological male parent father. That's not what he means. God himself said we should honor our father and mother. Instead, what Jesus means is that we should not put anyone, ourselves or anyone else, on the same level as God. Whenever we try to get the glory and make everything we do about us, we are then guilty of being just like the Pharisees. And such sinful pride puts a wall up between us and God. But the good news is that Jesus has changed all that. God has humbled you and raised you up with Jesus. Your sinful pride is forgiven, and you have a new heart that can serve others in true Christ-like humility. But that leads to a question. What does this Christ-like humility look like? How does it act itself out in our lives? Well, let's briefly examine our reading from Romans 12. Paul here describes the baptized life as as being a daily battle. The Holy Spirit uses God's Word to move us to repent of our sinful pride so that we can live a life of humility. Now, first, Paul says that we should repent of the times when we think that we're better than others because of certain abilities or skills that we may have. This helps us remember two things. First, any abilities or skills you have are a gift from God, so you can't really boast about them. And secondly, any abilities or skills that you have are to be used to serve others to the glory of God. As Paul said, be devoted to one another out of brotherly love. Honor one another above yourselves. However, those words are easier said than done. The baptized life is a daily battle because we're constantly fighting against the desires of our sinful nature, including the sin of pride. But that's why we need Jesus every day. That's why baptism is not merely a one-time act in the past, but a daily source of power for living our lives to the glory of God. Your baptism means that your sinful nature is to die daily by Spirit-wrought contrition and repentance so that a new person might live to the glory of God every day. Now the Apostle Paul talks about this new life of humility also in our reading from Philippians chapter 2. Paul starts out by saying that we should strive to be like Jesus. Paul says, do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, but in humility consider others better than yourselves. Each of you should look not only to your own interests, but also to the interests of others. Now, I'd like to make two important points about this text from Philippians. The first point is this. Paul is not saying that it's wrong for you to take time for yourself so that you can be refreshed by rest or recreation. You need to take care of yourself or you won't be able to serve others very well. For example, raise your hand if you've ever been on a commercial airline flight. Okay, quite a few of you have. Well, then you know that before the flight takes off, the stewardesses or the stewards tell you about all the things you need to know about to be safe, including what you should do if the air pressure in the cabin should suddenly decrease. The oxygen masks will fall down, and they say you're supposed to take one of those oxygen masks and put it over your face. But I don't know if you've ever heard them talk about what you should do if you're a parent with little children. They say you should put your own mask on first and then help your children put on their masks. Now, I remember when I first heard that, I thought, that seems kind of selfish. I mean, shouldn't I help my children first and then put on my own mask? But then I started to understand the wisdom of those instructions. You see, I won't be able to help my children very well if I pass out due to lack of oxygen. But with that understood, what would you think of a parent who would put on his or her own mask, but then instead of helping his children, he or she would just stand there enjoying the oxygen while his children suffocated? You would think, boy, what a selfish and prideful person. But you see, we are guilty of this sin also when we think only of ourselves, or when we serve others only that we might manipulate them and control them. That's why Paul says, do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, but in humility consider others better than yourselves. Each of you should look not only to your own interests, but also to the interests of others. You see, my friends, we serve ourselves and we take care of ourselves only so that we can get back to our primary calling in life, and that is being servants of others. serving others at home, at work, at school, in the community, and right here at church. Now for the second point I want to make about this text from Philippians. Paul says that Jesus should be our example of humility. Now that's wonderful that Jesus should be our example, but we need to understand that he cannot be merely our example, or we would have no hope. I mean, who could ever live up to Jesus' perfect example of humility? Therefore, the only way that we can strive to be like Jesus is if Jesus is first and foremost our servant and Savior. In our reading from Philippians, Paul goes on to describe all that Jesus did for us prideful sinners. Even though Jesus was equal with God the Father, he did not selfishly grasp the glory that was rightfully his. No. Instead, Jesus humbled himself and became a servant, even to the point of dying on the cross in our place of damnation. And my friends, this Jesus also conquered death for you by his resurrection. And now he is exalted to the highest place, and he has the name above every name. Yet nevertheless, in all his glory, Jesus is still our servant. My friends, the exalted Jesus served you when he washed your guilt away in the waters of holy baptism. The exalted Jesus serves you today when he gives you his body and blood in Holy Communion. The exalted Jesus serves you when you hear and read his word. His word that humbles your sinful pride so that you can be lifted up by his mercy and love. And one day in the future, one day Jesus will return in visible glory, and he will serve you once again. He will serve you by raising your body from the dust of the ground and giving you eternal life with him in his new creation. But until that glorious day, we rejoice in the privilege of living the baptized life. The baptized life means that we get to live each day humbly clinging to Jesus for the mercy and the love and the life and the hope that we so desperately need. Jesus gives you all these things and more. Jesus gives you himself. Therefore, because Jesus is your humble servant and Savior, you are now free to follow Jesus as your example by living a life of humility, serving others in love to the glory of God, the glory of the God who humbles himself to serve you. Amen. Now may the peace of Christ, which passes all our understanding, guard our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus, our Lord and Savior. Amen.